Welcome to the Blessings of Christ on this sixth day of March 2022. We're moving forward into what I really feel will be a blessed year of revelations to us all, and it may require a little bit of searching just to find where we go next. If my life is any parody of that, then I can attest to the fact that, yes, I searched a great deal, and finally, I have my home. So I just wanted to let you know and to share the good news with you. It's in Fort Worth, where I was actually told to go. This is where my deeper early in life roots are planted, and I would think that possibly with what's to come in the future, I needed to reconnect with my roots. But there's also a little spirit of humor and revelation in the street address of my home. And the funny thing is, my dear friend, Barbara Eaton, was assisting me in finding this. She's so much better at going through searches online that I am, and she had all kinds of things lined up every day for me to look at. And when she mentioned one, it stood out in my mind. She said, there's one on Glastonbury Street. And my mind initially went to Glastonbury, England, the ancient city that factors into legend in many ways. Some people believe that's where Camelot was. Other people know that it was the bastion of many wise councils, groups, mystical societies, and some people believe it dates back into shortly after the life of Christ, where the artifacts of the life of Christ were taken, including the the goblet from which the wine was taken at the Last Supper, and other artifacts of his life and the lives of the apostles were, according to legend, they were stored there. Some people even believe the Ark of the Covenant, going back to the days of Moses, were taken there. And we know, and we have this pretty much researched. So some of those theories could be actually plausible, because we know that Israel had outlets in what we call Great Britain today, where they had mines. And they had actually migrated there after the sack of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in 200 BC, where the legends speak of the lost tribes of Israel. Well, there were 10 lost tribes, and one of them was believed to have gone to what we call now the British Isles. It may account for why some of the great artifacts were carried there into safety, and it is rumored that members of the Holy Family went there after the crucifixion, the resurrection, or at least after the destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in 72 AD. It is believed that the family of Christ went there, but not all of them, because the Blessed Mother, Mary, went to the Isle of Patmos with the Apostle John, who was appointed to be her son and her caregiver till the end of her days on earth. So they did go in different directions, but the town of location that was paramount in legend was Glastonbury. So when Barbara just read over the phone, this is on Glastonbury, I went, what? Of course, I didn't realize yet that Texans would be spelling it. So according to the way it's spelled, it is Glastonbury. Still, only three consonants are substituted, and people still say it like it's Glastonbury. So that was a little touch of humor for me that Yeshua had planned it. He had planned my exodus and relocation, and it all came to be present in the name of the street I will now be living on. I'm not there yet. I'm still in a hotel. So I want to thank Nancy Freeborg with so much love and appreciation for being here, riding sidekick with me on getting the blessing call delivered today, because I never know how the signals will be in the hotel, and I'm still on my iPad, and all of these things function better on a desktop. As a matter of fact, I want to apologize that for several weeks now, I have not been able to send you our weekend meditations because Constant Contact only functions on a desktop. And I have tried every way to circumvent it, but it just doesn't work. I was able to manufacture a copy onto my standard Gmail account to get notifications for the blessing call, because I was not going to not get that out. But next week, you will have a weekly meditation from my new home on Glastonbury. And I can only imagine what he has in mind for the delivery of inspiration from my new home and from the settlement I will make there. It may be transitory. I may move on to do other work in other places, but for now, that will be home. So thank you for being patient with me, supporting my move and my transition. And we're pretty close to the original forecast I made that the business would reopen on the 9th of March. We will be moving in on the 10th of March. So give me a couple more days to get the office set up, and then we will be to where we can take your orders. And thanks to the very, very efficient packing of my dear friend Barbara, way back in Aransas Pass, our oil room will be set up very efficiently, and all of our other products, so we will be ready to roll very, very soon. And I can't wait to be back in service of the work that I so love to do. The long journey is almost over, and I have so much gratitude for my Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, for holding us together, and for Yeshua, for His love and guidance. So we'll open the room up for other people to sing their praises for blessings, and to ask for whatever blessing you need this week. And I turn the board back over to Nancy. You do such a great job.
Oh, thank you. I've opened the line for Elizabeth. Elizabeth, welcome. Your line is open.
Thank you, Nancy. Hi, Glenda. I'm glad you found Glastonbury. I've been there myself. It's a magical place.
Yes, it is.
And that was obviously a little hook, you know, with Yeshua, finding your place. I'd just like two blessing requests. One, the first one is for Monica, who lives in my sister's basement, and she needs to find a new place to live. She's going to see a place tomorrow, and I'm just saying prayers that this will be the right and perfect place for her and her cats to live, so she'll be looked after. She's got Asperger's, so she's a little diminished in capacity as far as a lot of us go. So I'm just asking that Yeshua will lead her to the right place in the perfect timing, and that she'll find somewhere to be where she'll be happy and looked after. And it's, her name is Monica. And the second blessing is for the people in my home country of Australia. They're having floods on the east coast of biblical proportions, 2.5 feet an hour were coming down last week from Brisbane down to Sydney. I think about a dozen people have lost their life in this, but it's supposed to rain all through April. So I'm just asking for prayers for everybody in Australia that they can get through this, and that perhaps the rain will ease off a bit in this month of March so they can help restore what's been destroyed. It's been, you know, it's been like the hurricanes in New Orleans that we know, you know, it's been very, very mm-hmm. bad. So I'm just asking for Yeshua to put his arms around Australia right now and help everybody who's in desperate need. Thanks.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for asking us.
Did we lose you, Glenda? Let's see.
Huh?
Nope, you're still there. Thank you. Thank you, Lisa.
I'm still here, but I'm not functional on the board, so unfortunately,
okay.
I can't help you.
That's okay. We don't actually have anyone there right now, so folks, feel free to come and share and speak. But I will ask for a blessing. A dear friend of mine, I'd love for Yeshua's blessing for Michonne. She's having surgery on Thursday. She's having a double mastectomy and I think an ovary removed. So her cancer has come back, and she's very confident. She's very upbeat. She has good attitude. So that's all wonderful. So if we can all just, her name is Michonne.
Okay.
And now we do have Wendy and Stephen. Your line is open.
Great. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Glenda. I'm glad to hear you moved to Glastonbury.
It is a sense of humor coming from Yeshua. I know.
It is, yeah. That's amazing, yeah. Regarding the Ark of the Covenant, I heard that Ron Wyatt in Tennessee, I think it was, he supposedly located the Ark of the Covenant under Jeremiah's grotto or something. Anyway, the reason I called, I wanted to keep asking for a blessing for the Ukraine. I was trying to study the history of the Ukraine, and I understand there are a lot of Marian apparitions in the country. Mm-hmm. And like with the advent of communism, Stalin wiped out all of the clergy. And but it seems like from the, even from the time of the Tsarist, that Ukraine was denied like their own specific religious identity. And so even today, Putin is continuing the tradition of denying that unique identity that is the Ukraine. And so I'm praying for a blessing for the Ukraine. Like, I don't know, if, you know, I can pray for like the mechanized lines to be disabled or something like that. I don't know what's allowed, like, for a blessing. But, you know, I'm asking for a blessing on the Ukraine.
Well, we join you. And I think most of us who have active prayer lives have Ukraine right at the top of our list right now. So
yeah.
We are not forgetting about Ukraine, and it is a very, very serious situation. And regardless of what, they come forward with a little bit of news designed to assuage the judgment of those actions.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going on, and it has not turned around yet. We're just grateful that for a moment in time, there's not quite so much show of hostility. We need we need a little bit of peace so that we can enter it with love, negotiation, and an optimum plan for how to develop respect both ways.
No, I completely agree with you. I don't pretend to understand the politics, but I guess I believe that prayer is the only real thing that will help the situation. And again, I'm thinking back to when Mary came to Fatima, that she asked us to pray for the conversion of Russia. So, you know, I'm still praying for that.
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that, Stephen. I was reading also that like 178 clerics out of Russia were asking the Pope to consecrate Russia to the Sacred Heart of Mary, because that was one of the visions received by the children in Portugal in 1917, I think it was. I'm not sure. And her directive was, you know, to pray without ceasing, and that if Russia wasn't consecrated there, it didn't look too good. So, but, it's really kind of a powerful time with Mary's influence. So.
Amen. Yeah. Thanks for your prayers and blessings.
Well, you know, one of the things that I like to do in my prayer life is I look for ways to take the problem and turn it into a solution.
Okay.
Because the more we fight a problem, the more it fights back. I have had a lot of personal experience with Russians. I was married to one for 10 years, and he was from a very high influence in the pre-Soviet Russia. His family were relatives of the Tsar and worked directly as officers of the court. So they were very, very highly placed in the pre-Soviet Russia. And I was married into the family and got to know a lot of Russians in his extended family. Then later on, I was honored to be the friend of a great Soviet poet, Joseph Brodsky, he was given the Nobel Peace Prize in 1987 because of his work in breaking down the Iron Curtain. He and Baryshnikov were very close friends, and I had lunch with them many times in New York City. Got to know both of them very, very well. And their other expatriate, highly influential Russians. And one of the things I noticed about all of the ones I have known is how intensely passionate they are. They are a very, very passionate people. And they're a very, if I was going to describe it by planetary forces, very Martian. They've got a lot of drive, fire, action, passion. And, I mean, you can hardly have a conversation with a Russian that one of them doesn't get up and pound the table. And they do it with heart. Their heart is bigger than the earth. So I think part of the problem they are facing is that in the course of planetary growth, they are one of the largest countries on Earth, and they're one of the most passionate countries on Earth, and yet they have been marginalized. Marginalizing of Russia has caused them, shall we say, political ulcers. I mean, their stomach is hurting. Their heart is hurting. Everything about those people is hurting. And when people are in pain, they don't think straight. They don't. I think it was actually a very healthy thing for them when they got into a race with the United States on who's going to be first to the moon. That kind of competition was healthy for them, and it pulled them out of their shell. And so one of the things, having known so many Russians, and Russians that really had a powerful influence in the country, I pray for their passion to be turned to something good. They just want to be significant. They want to have influence. They want to be, they want to have, notice in the world. And they're kind of like a kid that grows up without any influence and he turns to be a bad boy just to get attention. This is how I see Russia. That bad boy needs to go to college. He needs to have a career. He needs to become a really positive, important influence in the world. But the problem is the rest of the world is scared of him. And so I pray that we lose our fear of Russia because really, if given a chance, they are a good people. If given half a chance to do good instead of bad, they will do good. I know that. I know that firsthand from being with those people. If given half a chance, they will do good. I don't know what this long, long legacy is with Ukraine. Probably some historical roots that go back so far, the rest of the world can't figure it out. Heritage type of things, ancestral type of conflicts. I pray that they work them out deep and among themselves where it really matters. And they get on with the good work of moving forward and helping the whole world move forward. For heaven's sake, we need everybody. We need everybody. And we don't need any little gangster from the hood coming out breaking windows. We need everybody turning their talent to some good end. And I know for a fact Russians are good people and their heart is gold. It really is. So I can say that as an endorsement of these people. Don't think they're evil people. They're frustrated people. Very frustrated people. And they need to target those energies and to turn their passion into love. And I pray every day for that.
Yeah, I really appreciate what you're saying. And they are good people. And there was a reason why Mary asked for them to be consecrated. So, you know, I pray that that's what will happen.
And I do too.
Yeah, thanks.
I actually pray through all the Russians I have known, because they have the contact. This is something I want to share as an instruction on the blessing, is that God reaches others who don't know him through us, because we do know him. Not, you know, I don't think even a fool could not know there's something, some forces in the world like God. They just don't want to call it God. They know there's a force there, shaping the future, shaping the destiny of the earth, bigger than they are, bigger than all of us are. They know. They just don't want to call it God. They don't know what it is. But, you know, once you know it, and you bow to it, and you surrender to it, and you feel the love, then you've got it to give other people. And I would recommend you don't give it by calling. You know, this is one of the mistakes a lot of teachers make, is they put the word God out before they put the Spirit of God out. This is why when Yeshua ascended, as he ascended or in preparation for it, he said, I will be sending you a counselor. And that counselor is the Holy Spirit. That counselor is the Spirit of God. When we send the Spirit of God out, it opens the hearts of people to receive and give them the actual experience of God before you start telling them about what you call God. Because, you know, let's face it, my friends, none of us can see the wholeness of God. And no matter whether we call it God or Allah or whatever other Jehovah or whatever other name has been used, it's never big enough. It's never big enough. Only the Spirit of God can carry that forward. Let us give forth the Spirit of God in our actions with other people, in our thoughts toward other people, in our love toward other people. Let the Spirit of God carry it for you. Then when they are open to discuss what you believe and open to hear from you what you have to say, even then be gentle. But let them know what you think and say, well, this is the way I know it. And the way I know it is there is a creator and he loves us.
Mm-hmm.
You see, we have to work through the Holy Spirit to get the job done. That's why Joshua left and brought the Holy Spirit into the world that could do greater work than he could do. Because in his incarnate form, even though he ascended into an immortal presence, still he has a name. It's not Jesus, by the way. It's Yeshua. And I think it's kind of humorous that, you know, we keep changing his name. And he doesn't care. He doesn't care, really, at all. As long as we're talking about the same person, it's okay. He sent a force that can reach anywhere and everywhere. Because God the Creator precedes even the Holy Spirit. God the Creator is everywhere. Not even a sparrow falls that it isn't seen by its Creator. And I would add to that, not even a flea on my cat can live without permission of the Creator. So we can't encompass it all, but we send the Spirit. And that's what we do in the blessing. We receive the Spirit of God. It comes through us. And then as we assimilate it and allow it to be in our lives, we touch other people with it. But you don't have to preach. You don't have to say what you're doing, what you're hoping to achieve. Let the Holy Spirit do it for you. And when you pray, let the Spirit take over and do the work that only God knows needs to be done.
That's beautiful, Linda.
Yeah, thanks, Linda. I'm going to hang up.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. God bless you.
We should have a few more people by now.
We do. We have area code 424. It might be Jean.
That's Jean. Hi, Jean.
Jean, your line's open.
Yeah.
Maybe you have to unmute.
Unmute yourself.
Are you there, Jean?
Hello. Oh. She might have stepped off to get a drink of water.
Okay. Well then,
how about?
Let me see. Oh, there she is. Jean, can you hear us? Can you hear us?
Yes, but I'll
get her water. I'm glad she has a chance.
Okay.
Hi, Glenda.
Hi, Jean. Stormy, we're gonna bring you in after Jean, Stormy. I see that you're there, but we'll bring you in next.
First of all, thank you for everything that you said, Glenda, and I am so happy about your new home on Glastonbury, too. That's just so beautiful. Just such a blessing. I just got in yesterday afternoon from 2 weeks of two weeks, 5 days of driving all through Baja California and witnessing so many beautiful things. I was able to listen to your blessings for all of you. And I wanted to thank, first of all, the you and the group for the deep love that they have, that we have, for all the people in the world, for everybody, and the love and prayers that we're offering to those who are really going through such a hard time right now, you know, the Ukraine, but in so many places. But I also wanted to give thanks for the miracles that I've seen since we've been having the blessings. I've been putting out prayers during our blessing time at the end of the talk with Yeshua and the Holy Spirit, for my friends who are really beautiful, lifelong friends who are extremely, extremely intellectual and in very influential positions because of their great intelligence. And my prayer has been that they would someday lose their fear of God. And what you say about, you know, not throwing the book at them, not saying, you know, but the Spirit of God. So I have been really praying for that for, since I've joined the Spiritist group this last winter. And, so I want to acknowledge, just a beautiful thing that happened, a couple of days ago. And that is that one of those friends had a triple bypass. And I've known him since first grade, and his partner is my oldest friend. I've known her since first grade. Both their spouses have died, and now they're together as high school sweethearts. Anyway, he's in very delicate health and had to have this, the metaphor, of course, his heart opened, you know, a triple bypass. It was done at one of the best hospitals in the world, and the cardiologist, they said, has a good heart. And also the cardiologist was saying after his surgery, that was when the work was going to begin because he'd have terrible pain. So I thought, well, who says so? And so had put that prayer forth in our last blessing. His operation went so well. He's doing so well. And his pain level is 2. It just blows everyone's mind. So his partner emailed the group of us who've been praying. She actually asked for a prayer circle, which is remarkable. And she said, I know that this prayer works. And so I want to give thanks. I want to give thanks to you, to the blessing givers, to Yeshua, to all of you in the group, for letting me join with you. And I know that our prayers for the people who are suffering right now all over the world are being heard. No prayer is lost ever. And I just am much stronger now in my faith. So I want to thank you.
I'm so glad. I'm so, so glad to hear that. You know,
thank you, Chris.
And just going back to what I was saying a little earlier, the best first way to know God is through the Holy Spirit. That is the best first way. Even before Jesus. I'll tell you why. What most people are afraid of about God are all the limitations that other people have put on the name of God. All the judgments other people have put on the name of God. And all of the ancient rituals associated with the name of God that are not really very civilized, if you get right down to it, you know, sacrificial type stuff. And, well, I don't have to get into the details. You know what I'm talking about. The limitations and the offenses that humans have attached to the word God. And that's the turnoff. When people can know the Holy Spirit first, then they can warm up to the idea of God, and then they can warm up to the person of God. Mm-hmm. You know, Albert Einstein was totally theistic, but not particularly enrolled in any particular description or identity of God, but he said, there must be one. This didn't just happen. You know, and not just him, but almost every one of the extremely advanced scientists that I have ever studied who reached the limits of how far science can go and yet see there's so much beyond.
Mm-hmm.
They said, well, there must be a God out there somewhere. because the human mind cannot reach beyond this boundary.
Yeah.
So, I think the greatest gift Yeshua gave us after his life was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Just followed. And the Holy Spirit actually founded the church on the day of Pentecost, which is why we took the name Spiritus. Later on, we developed it into Spiritus Church of Christ Blessing, because that's what we're doing. That's our place in the world. So, it's who we are. It's what we know to be true. And, I love everything you said, Jean. It's just, you know, it's beautiful work you did. Beautiful, beautiful work. And
thank you, Grant.
Something that will allow your friends to grow in their own way, in their own direction, in their own calling.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Glenda.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Well, it looks like Stormy, his line dropped. So, Stormy, if you want to come back in a little bit. Right now we have Christopher's line open.
Hi, everybody. Hello. Glenda, so happy and excited to hear this. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It feels like it's been such a journey, right? I'm so happy to hear that you're going to have a home for you and your kitties. Oh, my gosh. That's so great.
Oh, they're happy. They're going to be so happy. And and also, for those who pray for my little rescue kitty, who was Larry's cat during his last 4 years, she found a home also. She's been adopted.
Oh.
And they love her, and she loves them. So, hallelujah again.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Oh, she's going to be so much happier. Have her own domain, her own queendom.
She really was queen.
Yes, exactly. I love what everybody's sharing today. Thank you, everybody. And I wanted to ask a special blessing for my friend Robert. He's in his 80s now. He was a mentor of mine 20 years ago in a youth leadership program that I was in. And just the last couple of years, he started to have some issues with memory and balance. And he was living alone in San Francisco, and his brother and sister-in-law couldn't manage caring for him, so they put him in what's supposedly quite a nice elder home, but he's very unhappy there. And I just pray for him. He had two strokes this week. He literally walked himself to the hospital and back after the second stroke. It was a blessing that the Holy Spirit came to me and told me to give him a call. Then right as he was leaving the hospital. So I walked with him, so to speak, while he, you know, on the phone while he walked. But the thing is, I just feel this, sadness for him and for all elders out there. I just feel this deep sadness for what our society has come to, in that we allow these total gold mine, jewel mine beings to be relegated to these kind of spaces where he's really not seen. He's one of the most brilliant, enlightened, love beings I've ever known. But he's not seen. And it makes, you know, he feels very isolated, very disconnected. and he struggles on a daily basis. So I pray for him. I pray for him all the time that Yeshua will come and visit him, because I know he's ready for that. A prayer for him and for all the elders. You know, I often think that one of my passions in life would be, if I had money, I would build elder care facilities that have a spiritual aspect, spiritual founding, grounding. You know, I feel like it's so needed.
Right. I hope you do it before I get there.
I know. I have so many friends that are in their 70s, and I'm like, you know, you all have done such an amazing thing to pave a road. We're standing on your shoulders, and, you know, we've been given so many gifts by the work that you've done and the consciousness that you've created. And to think that some of my favorite people have been struggling with not feeling supported in their later years just breaks my heart. So blessings to everybody. May there be a new movement of improved care for our elders.
Thank you so much, Christopher. I really, really appreciate that. And, you know, you would be surprised how many of my generation are actually making it one of our last goals to get through this phase of life with all of our faculties intact, all of our independence intact, still making a contribution to the world. One of the goals of my friends that are in my age group and a little older is to not see life as a linear progression, but to see it as a synergistic development that can actually move freely according to inspiration, guidance, development, opportunity, compassion, and duty. Just like you do, younger, and that is actually one of the parameters of youth. Is that youth moves freely, not in, for example, there's not a lot of difference between someone 30 years old, someone 40 years old. You might have a couple of kids in there, but really, in the way you think about life, the way you do life, it's not that different, because you still move according to opportunity, duty, inspiration, creativity, guidance, just general movement and synergistic interaction with life. It's a free-flowing movement, like currents in a river. But people expect when you get to be about 70, that river is going to narrow, and it's just going to go between the tight walls of a canyon until it drops off as a waterfall. That's the way it's been practiced. And we're rebelling.
Good.
We're saying, no, that is not. We know, everybody knows, there's a time when we're going to lay it down. We're going to push the chips up to the window and say, okay, I'm cashing in. I'm turning it over to my grandkids, and I'm going on to other parks to play in. Okay. We all know that time is coming, but there's no reason it has to be this little tiny narrow river leading up to that point. There's no reason.
Right.
And actually, in the more peaceable kingdoms on this earth, it's not that way. So many people in, shall we say, the more peaceable points of the world interact with their elders right to the end. What has happened in the United States and some of what we call the first world nations, and I'm not sure we're first world anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're bringing up the rear someday.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But what we have done in order to get first line is we've over-organized. We've organized everything, and we've turned it over to bureaucracy. And we have turned over the raising of families to bureaucracy, the taking care of elders to bureaucracy. We have
social services that try to monitor our life every step of the way. Well, my friends, it can't be done by social services. It can't, simply cannot be done, because some people have extreme needs in life earlier than others do. Some people are good to go, creating their way in life till the day before they cash out.
Yeah.
No two people are alike. People on this call have heard many times retell stories about the phenomenal bull in a china closet spirit of my mother. Oh my God. She was still taking, she was up in trees with chainsaws, trimming them when she was 87 years old.
Mm.
I mean, we're talking about somebody. I drove up and said, "Mother, if you don't get down from there, I'm calling the fire department." And then I said, "No, don't you dare come down that ladder. I'm calling the fire department." We have stories like that. Well, I wanted her to stay. I wanted her to stay free to create till the last of her life. And I got to thinking, you know, if she wanted to end it by falling out of that tree, God bless her. That's better than sitting in a nursing home, miserable, not being able to do anything. But my brother and sister who didn't share my fluid point of view on life decided to put her in a nursing home. She was miserable and she hated it, but she found a way to make herself useful. She took over the gardening. She started a garden. It was on about an acre of land, and she says, "Let me start a garden here." She did the gardening there for 3 years.
Mm.
And then they finally thought, well, Alma, she was 93 at that point. Okay. And they said, well, Alma, you know, it's okay in the springtime, but in the winter, we think maybe you're just a little frail for that. Let's keep you inside. She didn't like that. No, she didn't like it at all. So she would go through the doggy door. She was that thin, that small at that point. She climbed through the doggy door, and she walked a mile back to her own old home and started gardening there. So was she prematurely confined? I would say so.
Mm.
And the people who put her there are people who could not think outside the box that has been established for us to be. We are not linear, my friend. This is why I want you to understand, when you receive the blessing of the Holy Spirit, it won't happen to you in a linear way. It will come through you. And it will move your life to the next thing you need to do. And then you will find somebody who can help you. And that person will find somebody to help them. And it will move. It will move as if you're in a free flow on a river until you are well, until you are healed. Now, some people have this instant touch, this instant healing. They're gifted with it. They're gifted with the ability to bring the Holy Spirit in to touch a person, and it's done. But that's not the way it usually works, my friend. Usually it works by opening your heart, opening your life, putting your soul back in charge of your life. Because one of the reasons we're sick is because automated processes and bureaucratic processes and artificial structures of life has taken over your life. That's why most of you are hurting. It would be like going through all of life with a cast on your leg, but your leg isn't broken. So eventually we begin to think our leg is broken. Why would I have a cast on my leg if my leg isn't broken? And so then we begin to act like our leg is broken. And that's the condition many of us are in.
the Holy Spirit will come in and take that cast off your leg. That's the first thing that will happen. The next thing that happens is you will take a look at that leg and say, I wonder if I can move this leg. You know, it's been broken for so long. I wonder if I can even step on it. And then you find, oh, gee, there's no pain at all. Maybe I should try to step on it. And you walk. And you say, oh, thank you, God. You healed my leg. And then maybe years later, you will discover it was never broken in the first place. But that is the analogy of what it's like to live in a world that's completely constricted by formula and structure and artificial containment of life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeshua said structures will fall. And if you look around it today, I think you'll see we're in the beginning phase. But instead of running in fear, my friends, just look at the, take an inventory of your life and just say, oh, well, I wonder if I could function even better with all this stuff falling away. You might be surprised what you find. You might find you're stronger than you ever were before. You might find you have a better lease on life than you had before. You might just find your future is brighter than it was before. And you start to think about things you couldn't dare to think about until now.
Well, that's wonderful, Glenda. Thank you. We do have Susan and Stormy, so we can bring Susan in, and then Stormy can take us out. Susan, your line is open.
Oh, great. Thanks, Nancy. Congratulations, Glenda, on the new gigs. And I wanted to say, well, for one thing, when you were just talking, I was thinking about the idea of everybody needing to label something. They're just very uncomfortable unless we can put a label. I guess boxing and labeling, I'm like, you know, it's just like, and don't put any labels on anything. And I keep thinking of the word fluid, you know, being fluid and
yes,
living my life
in
that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah. So that's what, you know, I wanted to say. But also, I wanted to say that, you know, it's funny. I listen to a lot of jazz, and a while back, you know, the title of the song was Conversation. It was a funky song, and the title of it was Conversations with God. And I would just chuckle, and the song was so perfect, you know. It just correlated with the title. And I was, you know, every so often it would pop up, and I thought nothing of it except that I'd chuckle and I liked the song. And then most recently, I'm doing meditation, and I said, there was a message in that for you. I said, oh, what? You know, I'm going, what? When you speak, when I do meditation, you know, when I'm talking, and lots of times I will, you know, visualize a person and then, you know, connect with that person non-physically and speak. And what came to me is, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Before I do anything, I need to, what would be best for me would be to speak with God and then have God deliver the messages. Don't look to speak directly. So I went, oh. I said, so that's the message in constantly seeing the song on the radio with the title. I said, okay. So when I go into it and I'm lecturing, I don't know what you want to call it, lecturing, speaking, whatever, ask first to send this to God and let God edit it, do whatever needs to be done to the specific person I may be talking about. I went, I like that. So that's something, I don't know why that, you know, in a bunch of everybody's sharing, that came to me to share to you guys. But,
well, it's basically what we've all been talking about today. You know, you just said it a little differently. You know, you just said it a little differently, and that's good.
That's exactly. That's where that came, you know, because specific out of everything. And I want to, but that's where it's from. In speaking about the Holy Spirit, and so that's how that should be made. So share that.
Yeah.
But, I bless everybody's work that we do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. It's always good to hear from you.
Same to all of
you. We love you. Stormy, your line is open.
Hello, Stormy.
Yes, I wish to give thanks and a blessing to what I just perceived within you, Glenda. As you said, Glastonbury. Something I have not seen, and it is new, and that there are three halos that you are developing. One is ringing and singing your everlasting soul. One is a reef of flowers that I can feel the very presence of every essential oil that you have developed. And I give thanks for being able to feel and see and hear such a perception within you that I have not seen.
Oh, thank you, Stormy. That is a wonderful blessing.
And you are not alone in this development. There are others also.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We are one by one all arriving in a new place. And I was just a parody for it. I helped to pave the way, but we are all, just take this as a symbolic, a metaphor, shall we say, of what is happening for all of us. We are all going through a transition to arrive in a new place. And for me, it's a Texas version of Glastonbury. But when you write me, don't misspell the word. It's the Texas version. But I know what it means, and I know what it symbolized as a message from Yeshua. He has quite a sense of humor.
You fill my heart with joy, Glenda.
Thank you. You fill my heart with joy, too, Stormy. And it's always so good to hear from you. Well, everybody, now that we have blessed one another on this call, let us receive more blessings from the Holy Ones, from the Holy Spirit, from our brother, Yeshua, and from our Father, our divine Heavenly Father, by grace, for our path on this journey on this earth, and our immortal residence in the palaces of God, where we shall meet and be with one another forever. For now, we walk sometimes on separate paths, but always together toward our eternal residence on very, very high ground. You have all been called to a magnificent journey. And let's make the river very wide, very fluid, and full of many canoes as we all go together singing and playing the drums and even dancing in the boats at times when it's just stable enough to let us do it. Okay. Well, for those of you who are new, and just a reminder for our friends who come every week, just relax, take a sweet breath in and let it out. This should not be any kind of stressful or forced breath. It should be a sweet breath, feeling the spirit of life coming into you, and then exhaling the spirit of love and life out to the world. So you take in, you give out, and know that this is what you will do every moment of your life. You just happen to be concentrating on it right now. You're enjoying the flow of life, the receiving, the giving, the receiving, the giving, as it goes on and on forever, forever. And even after this physical life, there will still be the receiving and the giving, only it will be of light. It will be of love. It will be of joy, of hope, of faith, and guidance. But it will still be the pattern of receiving and giving, receiving and giving. I ask you now to be open so that you can receive. Because you must receive and be full in order to give and give generously. When we give, it's good not to hold back. It's good to give generously. Like Yeshua said, if a man asks you to walk 1 mile with him, walk 2. If a person asks you for 1 fish, give him 2. Whatever a person asks, give more. Because that's the spirit of generosity. And as you engage with the spirit of generosity, giving forth, it sets you up to receive generously on the next round of breath. So let us just be here enjoying the breath of life, being here together, and see it almost become a dance, a musical chant of receiving and giving, and receiving and giving, and flowing openly. Blessing givers, if you will stand with me, let us give our gratitude, our praise, and our invitation to Yeshua. Yes, he is already here, but he says you must ask. You must ask. Why? Because he respects our sovereignty. We are sovereign souls. As children of God, we could be no less. God granted us, unto us, our sovereignty. Not that we hold it with boundaries. Not that we hold it with a spirit of separation. But that we hold it with a spirit of integrity. Therefore, we ask for that which we need. Because we are taking inventory of that which we have, that which we need. And so, after I have asked and received from Yeshua, he is joining with us, then you will pray and give to him your request and your prayer. You will receive the blessing energetically, for it is coming from the spirit of the universe, by the grace of God, and the spirit of the Holy One and the love of Christ. Let us begin, everyone. Be enjoined with me, blessing givers. Oh, Yeshua, we join with you in the sacred place where our hearts come together. We seek to receive your love, your blessing, your opportunities, your healing, and your forgiveness for whatever we have a shortness of that we have not given, or we have not received, or we have not observed. We have not joined hands when we could. But we ask you now to make us whole, to join us with the other members of our community and our community with the world, that as we receive the Holy Spirit, we are joined full force as a glowing, divine and sacred community that is radiating your love, your blessings,
and the power of the Holy Spirit into the world. That we may be a presence in the world, a presence to give without limitation, to give without judgment, to give without enforcement, to give only with the spirit of faith, hope, charity, and love, that we may be a blessing unto the world. We ask you now, through us, to reach those who are doubtful, afraid, in a state of challenge, in a state of worry, perhaps in fear for their lives. We ask that we be a presence that shall comfort them and direct them, guide them to safety, guide them to help that is needed locally to where they hurt and to those who can be of service. We ask that you help us to radiate out into all the points of service that can be delivered to those who are coming into this world, to the children who need care and love, guidance and help, to the young people who are trying to decide their place in the world, to parents, to people who are arriving at the point of greatest influence in this world, that it may be one of benevolence and generosity, of faith, of hope, and intelligence inspired by divinity. We ask that you will touch the lives of those who are sick and bring to them those who can heal them, or at least give them comfort as they put together their life in the next chapter of what needs to be. And we ask that you welcome those who are transitioning onto the highest ground of their hopes and dreams. We ask that you bring us into our hearts of hearts, that as we pray, we be one with you, one with the Holy Spirit, and one with our Heavenly Father. In these things we ask, in your blessed name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me in conveying the energy of the blessing now?
The blessing has been given. Go and rest. And let's all be together next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.